Hello and welcome to the Pixelated Realms Gamecast, your guide to the digital landscape, untangling the mysteries of your favorite titles and discussing the latest and greatest in video game fun. I'm your host, Alex Salerno, and alongside me is my brother Tyler and my good friend Dustin. Good morning. How's it going?
What up? What
up? Good morning. Hi. It is a bright and early day, and we have some video games to talk about.
Welcome. I think you said disgusting.
What's disgusting?
I think you said, like, disgusting the, like,
video games. Disgusting.
In discussing the latest and greatest? Oh, maybe I slurred a little bit. Yeah. Discussing. We are disgusting.
Come on,
I mean,
host.
That's just.
Get your shit together. Jesus.
It's not together. It's never together. Well, today we're going to be talking about Skull and Bones, and is Tifa wearing too much clothes in Final Fantasy VII Rebirth? You'll find out more. We have no housekeeping, so let's start with what are you guys playing, and then we'll dive in.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'll get started. As usual, I can't play a video game more than a couple weeks, so I've already been playing a few new games this week. With the release of Dune Part 2 this weekend, that got me excited to look at back into some Dune games. So I've been playing a little bit of the Dune Spice Wars RTS that came out. Ooh, I want to say 2002. Hold up.
Oh,
2003.
It's a little bit of an aged game then.
Oh, did I say 2002? Sorry, 2023. So this is a year old game.
That's it's a an big RTS. Difference.
It's a big difference. Is a very big difference. But it's. The reason it got brought to my attention again, I played it when it was first released last year. I was pretty unimpressed. It felt a little overly simple and in short, boring. I just wasn't really like kind of feeling it out. I revisited a year later. They've made quite a few updates. They've added additional houses. I played a full game through yesterday. I did not win, but I did play the full game through.
So you play as a house, like Atreus or Atreides,
I'm happy to explain. So it's a combination of what I would call, if you ever play Stellaris, which is they feel like 4X games, right? So a 4X game is like Civ 6 or what are some other ones? There's a whole bunch. So 4X is a style in of itself. Civ 6 is, and the Civilization series has really kind of defined what that is. Now, this game is not turn-based, but it have that 4X style where you basically control zones that have cities with them. There's resources. You build buildings at these individual cities. You create troops that you can move across the map. Now, of course, spice is a huge component of this game. So you're looking for resources. You're looking for regions that have spice. You go fight for those regions. You have it very much like Civ 6, you have like the ability to trade with other factions, which of course are the other houses. So you can be the Fremen, the Harkonnen, you can be the Atreides, all the various houses and more. And you go around and you basically try to win the game of one of five ways, just similar once again to the Civilization series. Like. Exactly. So there's like an economic win, which I believe is purchasing 50% of the Choom shares. So there's a whole stock market system with the Choom. You can do a domination victory, of course, the classic nuke your opponent's death. There is a economic victory. Oh, sorry, I already said the economic victory. There is a democratic victory. There is like a points victory. And the last one, I'm trying to remember, it might be like an information victory. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's a few avenues, but it ends up playing out a lot like the Civilization series. I'd recommend it if you really like Dune and you like 4X games and you like those games. If not, it's probably just not going to be for you. It's a little too complicated.
Yeah, that sounds like a hard skip for me. I'm waiting for the new Dune Awakening to come out, the MMO game, the survival game that's supposed to come out.
What did we review that like on our first episode? That
I don't know about the word review, but we did talk about it in our
anticipated games. Yeah, and honestly, it's really funny because doing research for that first episode got me so much more hyped on that game. So I haven't seen anything else come out about it, but you know,
you know what? I mean, it's surprisingly surprised. It's supposed to come out this year and maybe next year, but most likely this year. And there has been very little information about it. Yeah. Like, I don't think there's even any gameplay released. It's just been a lot of teasers and stuff like that, which makes me think maybe it'll get pushed. But
take their time. Like, as long as it doesn't get canceled, take your time. I'll wait.
Yeah, it's very. I mean, I'm interested. I love the Dune universe, and I love like just that, like the weird intricacies of it. So I'd be very interested in that type of game.
I feel like
the first Dune movie sucked. By the way,
don't hurt me like that, bro. Me like that.
The first movie, part one. Yeah.
Denis Villeneuve one.
I love movie. Dude, he's like my new favorite director. Like, I love his shit. And I'm not saying that he's for everybody, so I understand your point of view. A lot of people agree with you. But I love the slow burn sci-fis. Like his Blade Runner adaptation. It was beautiful.
He was 2049.
He did 2049.
That is crazy because I totally like made that connection without knowing it.
Yeah, wow, like, I mean, his style is very distinct.
It's so similar. Oh my God. Yeah.
Like, and you know, and somebody else would bring this up if I didn't first, right? Is like, he recently came out and said that thing about like,
the dialogue.
Like, yeah. I think dialogue is overused. TV made dialogue like too common. And I think we should show more than tell kind of a thing. And I love that idea. Like, I like that. I do agree. I think that we over chat in movies sometimes. It's like, sometimes you don't have, not everything has to be said. Sometimes show me, let it be inferred. And that's what I like about Dune is Dune shows you. But the first movie is very, very much a world building movie. It's not heavy in the actual story. I mean, yes, a lot happens, like, but you also kind of have to know beforehand a lot of the Dune universe. It doesn't explain anything to you. It doesn't hold your hand. Like, you have to know, like, about the Bene Gesserit. You have to know about the Emperor and how he, you know, kind of has these fiefdoms and stuff like that.
You know, okay, so about that quote, I also saw the quote from Denis Villeneuve, and, you know, welcome to the Pixelated Films podcast. So basically, when he said that, it actually made me reframe my entire watch through of his movie and in a different, completely different light. When I first watched it through, I thought it was an incredible feat of cinema, and I think it's kind of hard to disagree with that. But I personally was not necessarily – I would have watched the 1984 one over that one most of the time.
Don't hurt me.
It's
I like the beautiful. Original.
It's a beautiful movie.
It's gorgeous. I mean, it's undeniable. But I watched it last night with my fiance. So, like, I literally just watched the part one again because we're going to see part two today. And with that in mind, I do have to say my rating of it goes up a lot because every word in that film, I understand that every single word said in that film is absolutely pivotal. Mm-hmm. And so when you take that approach and you know that Denis Villeneuve does not want to have any words that are wasted, you start to infer a lot more about what these words mean and how deep they are. And I am someone who knows most of the story, especially the first book of Dune. And so I can kind of sit there and be like, oh, wow, he's like, you could really see the doubt in Paul's eyes. Actually, one thing, the last thing I'll share, and then we can move on to the rest of the episode. I just wanted to say, we can move on to someone else talking here, is, you know, at the end of part one, when he kills Jameis, the entire start of the movie is him very much realizing that he's this space messiah and being extremely conflicted about it because he's seeing the future and he's like, dude, I'm going to cause a holy war. This is effed up. Like, the Bene Gesserit created me. I'm a monster. This is crazy. But as soon as he kills Jameis, he decides that he is accepting the title of Messiah and he is resolute and moving forward. Yeah. And it's very clear in the film when that happens.
But he also, in the same breath, he also decides that he's changing his visions.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Because Jameis was his teacher in the visions. Yeah.
So he's saying, like, I am creating my own path. Even though I have accepted the fact that I am going to be their savior, I'm doing it my way in a different way. But anyways, I would love to hear, Dustin, why you don't like that movie. Like, that's kind of how we started this. We kind of hijacked it. But, like,
I just, as someone who didn't know shit about Dune at all, like, it was just boring.
It was a boring film.
Like, a very slow burn. Like, I actually had this conversation with someone the other day who was like, I'm going to go see it on Saturday. I'm so excited. I'm like, why? Fucking boring movie. Like, yeah, again, beautiful movie, but boring. And I told him, I was like, you know, for someone who doesn't know the franchise, it might be better to, like, 9-hour burst, like, all three when they come out and just watch the whole story at one time. And I'm hoping, like, Dune 2 kind of, like, picks up the action a little bit, and I think it will. But, yeah, the first movie,
Very much so.
I also like Oscar Isaac, so I was bummed that his character died. You know, again, not knowing anything about the – as you guys already know, he's fucking going to fight it, you know. And, like, for me, I'm like, oh, man, Oscar Isaac, he's cool. Like, I hope he, like, you know, has a prominent role. Fucking dead.
Game of Thrones.
I'm a very – in the minority of I like Jason Momoa, and so I was like, fuck, dead. So I was like, oh, man, two actors I really like both died.
Or is he?
As when we look at it, we think he's dead, you know. So yeah, I was like, fuck, two actors like died, like it's pretty slow, like beautiful, but you know, like fucking whatever. I'm never gonna watch this shit again.
Yeah, I have a buddy who, you know, who isn't, for lack of a better term, he's not a geek, you know, and so he always jokes with me. He'd be like, hey, would I like Dune? And I literally texted him yesterday. I go, probably not. Honestly, I think you would watch it. I think you would have no idea what's going on and you'd get bored. And he was like, thank you. You know, because I honestly can see that. If I read Dune, the first book, and I got to the end and I was like, I have no idea what I just read. I went to YouTube, of course. God bless the communities that love their respective crafts, because I went to YouTube, found 10 videos that all explained it in more detail than you could ever know. I read it again and I was like, okay, I think this is a really unique story.
I actually love the book. The book is fantastic.
But it doesn't hold your hand, and
no. But that's what I like about it. Yeah. I love books that you have to infer information.
But it's a lot more challenging when the place we're inferring is so different than our own. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's why you read fiction books. But yeah, I mean, I've heard about the second movie that you don't even have to really watch the first movie. Is from what I've heard, and it's been getting like really, really high Rotten Tomato.
It's been 100% 10 out of 10.
Yeah, like 97, 98, 99%. So, like, I think. I mean, well, the first one got like an 80 something. But, did it? Did it get higher than that?
Well, because I thought it was reviewed pretty poorly because I was like, no one even liked this fucking movie. What are you guys talking about?
No, it was high 80s at least.
Let's see. Okay, so it was 83 tomato meter, 90 audience.
Oh, okay. The audience. Yeah. So, I mean, I can see that, but I'm just saying, you know, the second movie will probably be more your speed, because I think that the second one is going to explain a lot. The first one was supposed to be very ominous, very world-building, very how it was, right? Like, so the second one's going to be a lot different. There's a lot of new characters they're going to introduce. There's going to be a lot of more pivotal plot points to the world.
A lot more war.
A lot more war. So, anyways, I mean... It's not the Dune show, so like we could probably wrap that up. But
yeah, move on. It's 20 minutes in.
I know. Are you guys playing anything else before we move on? Anything interesting?
I played the finals with you the other day, and your computer took a shit. So
I know my computer took a dump. I did fix the problem.
Rolled because I was playing with randoms, and that was that.
Just fighting for freedom against the Terminate and the Automatons. Other than that,
against Joel.
Against Joel.
Yeah, Joel's the game master who runs the Galactic War.
We love you, Joel.
Yeah, we love you, Joel. But also, we're going to defeat you.
We hate you. We also hate you, yeah.
Yeah, no, we played a lot of Helldivers. I've been wrapping up Spider-Man in an hour, and it's like, I was talking about this the other day. I was like, since there's such a lull in like video games right now, I was like, oh my god, I have to take advantage of this time to like chip out my backlog. Because you never get this. This is like such a rare opportunity where games aren't constantly coming out. And like, I need the opportunity I got to capitalize on it and actually like finish things. I need to finish Spider-Man 2. I need to finally finish Horizon, Forbidden West. And then I want to pick up Hellblade, the first one, before the sequel comes out. Yeah. So I was like, oh my God. But I, you know, of course we have no time. But anyways, before we dive in, we just want to say that we really appreciate everyone who follows and subscribes to us. We post new episodes every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on podcast services and YouTube. You can find us on Instagram, Threads, and YouTube at Pixelated Realms Podcast. If you want to ask questions and be part of the show or leave a comment, you can now go to pixelatedrealms.org/ask. Leave us a comment and we'll talk about it at the end of the show. All right. So thank you, everyone, for that. Now, let's talk a little bit about Skull and Bones. We've all played it since our last episode. I am the most curious. So, Tyler, we know you're obsessed with it, but Dustin, you played 2 or 3 hours. I want to know your thoughts around it.
Honestly, like, I enjoyed it more than I was expecting. You know, I didn't like at first that, like, the trees I needed to harvest, like, kept getting taken, and I had to go, like, find random trees somewhere else. Mm-hmm. I think they need to like up the spawn timer because it was a while, especially because everyone's condensed into like this very small map. But no, once I got that, I started doing some of the missions and selling around. And yeah, I've only like a couple hours in. You know, I had fun like picking out my outfit for my character. It was more fun than I expected. I don't know. Still, I actually intended to play more and like get through my free trial, and then I just stopped, which kind of happens to me with games where I'll just be like, excited for a bit. And then it's like, okay, I'll just never go back to it. Mm-hmm. I still do intend on picking it back up. It's just been like a busy couple weeks. So we'll see, but yeah, better than I expected. Still not convinced that it's going to be a long-term play for me. And I'd still say for me right now, Sea of Thieves is far better, but it's early.
Yeah. Tyler, I kind of want you to act as like the devil's advocate and like defend the game because I don't like hate it, but I don't like love it in any way either. So I probably have, I don't know, maybe like 12 hours in, just a little bit beyond the free trial. And I got to the point where I'm most of the way through kind of what they call the story. I have the first large ship or medium, I guess medium ship. And there's a thing in the game where you end up running like trade routes. So I have a rum distillery and some kind of opium den or something. And so I have those, which are pretty large. I'm not at the actual like end game part, but I can't imagine it's much different because my major gripe with the game. So, okay, here, let me talk about what I like and then I'll kind of go into the gripes of it. So far, the basics of the game aren't bad. You go into town, you know, you can build up your ship. There's some customization there. There's some characters you can kind of interact with here and there. But the game loop is really boring right now. And the reason it's boring, so like to me, fun comes from a lot of different places, but one of them to me is like subverting expectations, is that when you're doing something you've done before in the game, but something slightly different or a challenge comes up that you weren't prepared for, because if you're prepared for it every single time, then it just becomes dull, right? So if you are challenged to do something, which is like you get a quest or something, right? This is the challenge in order for you to get this reward. I expect it to be slightly different each time, even if it's very minor.
Yeah.
So far, that hasn't happened. Every single mission that you do is a variation of the same thing. You get on your boat. It's one of two things. You go to a location and you fight something and you come back with something. Or you go to a location and you pick something up without fighting, and then you go back to the location to drop it off. And that's literally the entire game. And so, and I was telling Kate, Tyler's fiance this, I was like, the thing is, even going to the location, you're a boat. So there's like no, very little key presses you have to do. So like you like literally point yourself in the direction and you just kind of sit there and wait. You don't even like have to move your boat around a lot unless you're like in some of the canals. But I was like, okay, there isn't enough variation in the game yet for me to like be like super hooked into it. And you know, Tyler, you did bring up a good point that, like, it's a very kind of mindless casual game. And I appreciate those games. I do think there's a place for those where you're kind of like, hey, I'm super tired. I don't want to overthink anything. I just kind of want something to keep my interest just enough for me to, like, feel like I've accomplished something minor. And it does do that. And I do agree with that.
Well, I have more complicated thoughts now. Now that I'm 50 plus ish hours into the game, I have more complicated thoughts. I'm trying to think of where my best starting place is. So, I mean, I'll say, I think I said it when we talked about it 2 weeks ago. I'll say it again. This is not 11 years worth of work. This seems to me like 2 to 3 years of scramble with assets that they had probably been working on for a while. My guess is I would say that my educated guess is probably not far from the truth. They clearly pivoted from some idea to some other idea a couple years ago. So and I also saw some news reports that kind of like confirmed that happening. So I want that to be said. I do enjoy the game, and as you pointed out, I was talking about with you yesterday, you know, for me, it's a game that is really fun to play when I just don't have the brain power to do a game that requires a lot. I'm someone who loves RPGs, you know, Morrowind and, you know, like games that are thick, like Baldur's Gate 1, like games that have thick text and require a lot of brain power. But sometimes I just don't have that brain power after a long day of work. So Skull and Bones for me is really fun because I hop in, I'm a freaking pirate ship, right? I love going around, like sailing through the ocean. You know, even if I'm just sitting there killing pirates or, you know, killing boats every day, like choosing my weapons, choosing like kind of like the armor, and there's more customization, like all of that, you know, that base of the Assassin's Creed Black Flag sort of, you know, feel, like that's good enough for me. Like it's like the elements of Black Flag that carry over are enough for me to put 50 hours into the game. Now, could they have done way better? And I'll talk about how. Yes, they absolutely could have. And frankly, I could have put in 500 hours into this game if they had done it correctly, you know, without even blinking. So to talk about that a little bit, currently I am at the end game. I've completed every single, main mission quest. I've also explored all parts of the map. I have done, I'd say like 90% of the side quests. Those are the blue ones. So I've done a vast majority of those as well. I do the daily quests usually. I also have almost all of the manufactories in the East Indies unlocked. Or sorry, not the East Indies, but that first area, which is might be the Red Isles. So I have a lot of the end game done. I have thousands of... I cannot believe they put a fucking opium den in this game. Like, it's literally an opium den,
I mean,
guys.
You are a pirate.
I know, but like there's an opium pandemic, man. Like, and I know, I don't know. It feels
you're not
off
smoking
key
it.
To me. I know, but either way, so I'm producing thousands of pounds of fucking opium. I'm producing thousands of pounds of rum. I'm doing the missions where I can deliver these to people and you can deliver them to your factories to increase their production speed. So I've built up enough of the pieces of eight, that's what it is, the pieces of eight currency to buy the $5,000 blueprint for the upgraded ships. So I've like pretty thoroughly gone through everything that's out right now. They recently did an update where there's a new boss and new armor and a battle pass. The battle pass is fine, I guess. I haven't had to pay anything yet, but I'm not like super impressed with it. It's pretty lackluster. And then the new content they released was just like, go kill this boat. Like there was a few new quests, but they were just like, go kill a boat. And then I went and did it. And it was like, great. You killed him. And I was like, what do I get? I'm like, nothing.
Yeah. Actually okay. The funny thing about that is a lot of the battle pass gives you items that make it easier to kill him. So it's supposed to be like, he's very difficult. But the fact that you're like, I just went and killed him. I didn't need any of that stuff. It's like, oh, well, okay. And there's no reward for getting him. It's like, why? What's all that build up for?
Right. And I'm not even sure how I'm supposed to be progressing the battle pass. I've just been doing the same crap and somewhat progressing. So it's just not a clear.
I didn't have purchase anything.
The battle pass.
Yeah.
I don't know if I got that for having Ubisoft Plus or whatever, but yeah, it wasn't charging me. Either way, I don't know. I just think the game has potential to be something really, really fun. I'm just not sure I have the faith in Ubisoft at this moment. Mm. I feel like in 2 years from now, or maybe a year from now, it's going to be like we're shutting off the Skull and Bones servers. Like, it's going to be another Anthem, basically. And even though I'm enjoying it, I don't think there's enough community enjoyment for this to keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Which is unfortunate, because they must have spent a lot of money on this.
We'll see. I mean, like we talked about, you know, Sea of Thieves, when it came out, was like, from what I heard,
rough.
Very weak, you know.
It was so
not weak. A lot of content. And so, again, we talked about this when we compared the two, that it's kind of unfair to look at Sea of Thieves now, after 10 years, all the content it has, and compare it to what Skull and Bones had at launch.
No.
I do think it's interesting, though, that you talked about how, you know, Skull and Bones has been kind of become a casual, mindless game for you. And, like, that's exactly how I view Sea of Thieves, because, like, I don't have to do any upgrades. I don't have to do anything like that. I can just literally jump on, pick my ship, pick which guns I want out of the cabinet, and then I go sail anywhere I want with whatever faction I want to choose to be supporting, and, you know, just play, you know? And so it's very casual, in my opinion. And so, yeah, it's funny that I think we're getting the same experience,
just slightly different
reasons.
Yeah.
Right.
For me, Sea of Thieves, I would go and do a quest, and I'd come back and I'd turn it in, and I'd feel like nothing happened, right? Like, there was nothing driving me to turn in extra loot. I didn't care, you know? Mm-hmm. I didn't want cosmetics. I didn't. So that basically meant currency meant nothing to me, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I have like 3 million gold. I never use it. I just hoard it.
He's literally never spent it.
But I think we found it interesting because we like wanted to get to Pirate Legend. And, you know, like we were trying to like hit the max level or max rank with the 3 different factions. So like that's where you turn in the loot, right? You follow the faction, you turn in the loot, you get more experience with that faction to boost it up. And that's kind of your level. That's your progression in Sea of Thieves is like gold hoarders or whatever the fuck their shit is called. And
when it was launched, it was just like 3 of them. You had like the gold guy, you had like the, or even the skull. Maybe even less. Yeah, the skull. So I don't know. My image of Sea of Thieves was heavily altered by my first play experience. And for years, I did not want to go back because I was like, there's nothing they could do
interested. It couldn't be more different. No, then when
the only thing that brought me back was the Disney Pirates of the Caribbean stuff, and I played a little bit of that. But
No, I've had other friends who again played it the same thing. Like played it early the first couple of years and didn't enjoy it. And I've told, dude, it's so good now. And they're like, I gave it a shot. Like, I don't want to go back. And I'm like, all right,
definitely a game to play with friends.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going to continue. I mean, Skull of Bones is something maybe I'll pick up every now and again. But they really need to put in some alternative content and really need to
expand the map.
Yeah, they really need to work on it before.
It's embarrassing, honestly.
Yeah.
The scope of the map. Your Ubisoft subscription for a couple months and then come back if they add
more
content.
That's what I was going to do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Honestly, exactly. I'm probably going to let it go out and then I'll come back like 6 months and see what they got for me.
Yeah.
But as we're quickly running out of time here, let's talk about a little bit about Final Fantasy. We had
hold on, I want to talk about something before
boobies.
We dive in. So the totally fucking up right now. Okay, but if you are new to the podcast or missed last week's episode, I highly recommend that you check out last week's episode because we interview David Lewis and we talk about the birth of voice chat and video gaming. And it's a very unique episode for us. And I thought it was just very cool because we get to kind of explore the history of video games and a story that really no one else has heard before. So if you haven't heard it or missed that episode, I highly recommend going back and checking it out. I know it sounds like I'm just kind of like you know, sponsoring our own episode, but it is very cool story, and I just want to push everyone to go and try and give it a chance because it's very interesting.
Father-in-law, it's his.
That is true, but it doesn't make it any less interesting. The fact that
yeah, it's the most journalistic thing we've ever done on this podcast.
Yeah, I wouldn't go as far to say we're journalists by any means, or even
journalistic, not journalists.
But yeah, it's very cool, you know, and you can only hear it here. He's never told that story anywhere else, and it's about the birth of how voice chat became what it is in video games. Okay, but yeah, let's talk about Final Fantasy and Rebirth. Yes. So I haven't actually played it yet, but Tyler has a little bit. Dustin, I know you have it. Did you ever start it?
I have it. I haven't started it yet, but I've obviously seen everything being talked about on Twitter. So I'm super hyped right now.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad to see that the reviews are really, really high. They weren't that high for the first part, as high. Like, they were high, but they weren't that high. And I played and beat part one, and I thought it was the gold standard for a remake of a game. Although I do prefer turn-based combat, I will say that it's a personal preference. But other than that, there's nothing I could do to complain about that game. Frankly,
I could.
So. I mean, that's fair. That's fair. But part two, it's off to a really good start. I've only played the beginning, but I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, that's cool. I think this might be one of the first Final Fantasies in a long time, though, that I'm like straight up skipping. I've skipped a few of the other ones, but like, I honestly, after the first one, I kind of have less interest now in this series. And I know I'm one of the very few people that think this. A lot of people love this new series. They love the new style. I just couldn't get into it. The story was pretty good. And I liked a lot of the cinematics. I mean, there's no doubt the game was absolutely gorgeous. It was one of the most stunning games that I've ever played. I just could not get into the combat. I don't know what about it in particular just didn't catch my fancy, but I agree with you. Like, I wanted it to be turn-based. There's something about the turn-based original Final Fantasy 7, 8, 9, and 10 combat style that was just so iconic, and is, to me, that is what Final Fantasy is. And removing like that removes like part of the soul of Final Fantasy for me. And so like that was, I think that was also a big part. And like, I completely understand the people that disagree with me. Like, I understand. I'm not like, you know, it just, for me personally, it didn't feel right. And the story, so the Final Fantasy VII original, I beat it many, many times. Love that game. But that one made sense, but there were parts that didn't make sense. But those parts, you know, you're kind of like, well, like, this is whole weird. But the new remake makes like zero sense. They took it even further and they went like full ass anime with it. And you're like,
which is funny because I disagree. I'm like, I totally think everything they did to the story makes me understand the world so much better.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
I want to hear what you think.
I mean, there's parts of it that make a lot of sense. I mean, like, the main kind of story beat, I guess, is very straightforward. Which is like, you know, they're like these environmentalists, kind of, you know, freedom fighters.
Extremists, yeah.
Basically terrorists.
They're terrorists.
And they go and they're like trying to take down like, you know, the big corporations and stuff like that who are polluting the earth. But then you get into like, okay, and we're starting to get into the weird parts of the story, and it's going to be like the main part of this rebirth. But like, you know, the whole like Genova, and then getting into like, what are these Dementor things? You know, like, that wasn't in the original game. And I know it's probably like the Earth, like, fighting back or whatever. But like, I don't know. It just got so confusing to me that I was like, oh, God, no. Now I'd have no idea what's going on. And the game was so long and that I actually started forgetting stuff in the beginning. You know, I guess that's just a me problem. That's not really the game's problem. And then My last gripe, and I'll shut up because I know I'm like in the camp, I'm not
the minority.
I'm in the minority here. I'm not in the majority, but none of the items in the game matter. It's like every weapon is just better than the last, and every armor piece is just better than the last. So it's like there's absolutely no point in micromanaging your character at all. It's like, why even bother having them? Because it's like, just okay, I just get this new thing, I equipped it. Like, that's just what it is. There's no, like...
That's why Dustin's playing the game, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, we'll talk about that. We'll talk about that for sure.
But, okay. Honestly, that is one of the reasons I'm willing to give it a chance, and it's embarrassing to say that, but, like, I've never played Final Fantasy, but I was just like...
Oh my god, Tifa, though?
Hype around it, and, like, the characters, and I'm just like, oh man, like, maybe I should give this one a shot. I don't know.
I gotta say, this is a topic about part one, and I'm sure it's going to go into part two. They did an incredible job creating every single character, and I gotta say, extra special attention to the female women of the group. Like, it's like Tifa, Aerith, Ayumi, like, they all have like, or and of course my favorite one, Jess, right? And it's like, they really put a lot of effort into, you know, making them fully realized characters. And honestly, like, I really enjoyed the characters and how they were portrayed in part one. And I don't know. I don't want to do any spoilers, but like, yeah, I don't know. I think they made me feel like I was when I finished that game, I was like, wow, you know, like this.
They're making a lot of people feel, Tyler, a lot of people. So.
Feel a lot of different things. Yeah. But I don't know. Tifa to me is the most underrated anime waifu character ever. Although, you know, I don't know if I would go as far to say underrated.
I think she's pretty well rated online.
Yeah, but Cloud like doesn't appreciate her. So I guess maybe more like in the meta of the story, she's underrated.
Well,
I don't think she gets the credit she deserves because she's a video game character. You know, you don't hear her next to the Nami's and Robins or Nezuko's or even Bulma's.
Oh god, Nezuko's so recent.
Square Enix is doing,
but like she's super hype, and like the Demon Slayer women are really hype right now. You know, but like you don't hear the video game characters get put alongside the anime waifus as much. You know, but if you do, like you have like a 2B Tifa.
Well, to be fair, before Tifa was just a bunch of polygons. You know what I mean?
She was just a bunch of polygons, yeah.
So, like, she hasn't had a long time.
Was like polygon.
We were creative back then. Tomb Raider, man. Yeah, Tomb Raider.
Laura, I guess that's true.
And she was just like...
But Angelina Jolie made sure that that wasn't the case.
The 2002 movie of Tomb Raider made sure that
I honestly don't think they could have cast a better person. I actually think she was perfect. Like,
yeah, I agree.
I enjoyed the movie.
I love how this movie... This is so like movie. We're having a whole movie episode. I think she like was pretty specific about getting that role. Like it was. But either way, I don't know. For me, I'm a huge Final Fantasy fan. I've beat a majority of the games. I think I've beat a majority of them pretty much. What were you saying? You were saying something, Alex, about the battle system and how like you basically just go and buy or find the next best.
Yeah,
sword or armor. That was a complaint I had about Final Fantasy 16.
Yeah, same thing.
It's exactly the same, and it's just like, dude, my character means nothing if all I'm like, why do I even go to the blacksmith if I always have enough money and there's always just another thing to buy? So that's another part where I feel like the magic is leaving Final Fantasy a little bit. You know, it's. I enjoy this new battle system. I don't think it's bad, but like part of the fun of Final Fantasy was designing your characters to and a grind. Specific way. Yeah. And like now it's, they give you, this is what your character does and you upgrade him and have fun, you know, And I'm like, okay, that's cool. But like, I don't feel like it's my team. I feel like I'm just playing the game.
Yeah, I fully agree. And like, I agree with Final Fantasy 16 too. Like, I played that game all the way to the end, and I think I would have enjoyed watching the game more than playing it. If you had just stitched together all of the story parts and just like fast forwarded through it, like I would have enjoyed that just as the same as I did playing through it. Because like you said, like I was just following exactly what I was supposed to be doing. The side quests in that game were totally boring, and I'm not going to go into that. But like the there was no variation. And I felt like that a lot of that in the Final Fantasy VII Remake, like I was just following the story. I was just following whatever.
Yeah.
And like, I would have loved, like, the story is amazing. Like, I would totally watch this as like a movie or something, which I know there's like a bunch of movies and stuff, but like Advent Children and, yeah, and things. Yeah. But like, it's like, I wanted this to be a video
game.
Give
us agency. Yeah. We want more agency.
And like, like I was telling you before, like, I think Final Fantasy IX is the best Final Fantasy. And a lot of people, I think, agree with that. The thing that I like Final Fantasy VII, I do think it's slightly overrated, just a little bit, but I do like it. And the thing about Final Fantasy IX that makes it so great is you can beeline the story, but you're going to be very weak. And if you want the best stuff, you have to make sure you have all the materia leveled up and the right materia leveled up, and that you need to go and find the right weapons, and you need
to... Well, in 9, there's no materia, but yes.
Not materia, sorry. Whatever the... They have power gems
yeah,
or whatever.
Like, yeah, yeah.
It's been a while since I played that one. But like, yeah, the whatever it is that... Or though, each weapon has a power. That's what it is. So you
a
need
series
to,
of them.
Yeah. Yeah, and so you have to unlock, and then once you unlock them, you permanently unlock them for your character. So you're like, yep, you're like trying to use like a shittier weapon to unlock the power that it has. So there's like a lot of incentive to use a shittier weapon, which makes the game harder, but in the long run, you get this better power. So like, there's a lot of complex likeness to it.
There's decisions that have to be made, right? You can't have it all. And that's the thing, is now in the modern games, you do have it all. Everyone has, you know, and... Yeah, sure. There's still some hints of like in 16, you could build up your like skill points and purchase more powers. But I only had so many slots, and there was so many summons that I didn't end up really. There was some, and there was just abilities that did nothing, right? Or weren't effective. And there was abilities that I had to have. So I, once again, I felt like I was trapped into making selections. And I thought it was an amazing cinematic game, both of these. But yeah, I don't feel like I had agency in choosing how my characters developed.
Yeah, but let's talk about the real reason we're here. So, Tifa in a bikini.
All right, Dustin, we're going to our local expert now. Dustin.
All right. Now, dude, it was honestly like kind of wild, like how much like conversation there was about it. And, you know, I've worked with Japanese companies, you know, throughout my career, and like, they definitely don't shy away from the fan service. And, you know, it's funny because there's conversations about how will the U.S. market kind of react to that in our today's culture, where, you know, like, you see Riot Games, they've kind of scaled back like the character art to not be so like voluptuous with their female characters, you know, because they're trying to, you know, be more acceptable to like the broader audience, because, you know, there's definitely people out there who don't like that their characters being so sexualized, you know? So it's vastly different culture in that way of like what's acceptable in Japan, what's now becoming less acceptable here in the US. So it's like, how is that going to kind of impact the game? And I think like it's a really interesting case study with Tifa, where it's like, yeah, I'm sure there's people out there who are like, I can't believe they blew up Tifa's boobs. You know, doesn't makes them not want to play the game. But I mean, like, you couldn't buy the amount of conversation that was happening about this game last week because of that specific thing. You know, I mean, it didn't matter. Like, games journalists, everybody were making comments about it. Like, I never left the beach, you know? you know, so I mean, like, it brought a ton of attention to the game. It's going to attract an audience. And I don't think, you know, I think it can only be good, basically, is what I'm coming, like, my conclusion for, like, how at least it worked for Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. Like, it brought a ton of attention. Like I said, it cost millions of dollars in marketing to get the amount of conversation that was happening about this game. And I think it probably brought in a lot of players that might have been skeptical or never played, like myself. You know, so yeah, it was really interesting to see unfold.
It's interesting. It's like, too, I think they know their player base. Like, I feel like the overlap between people who like anime and the people who like Final Fantasy is probably pretty large, and the people who like those things like the fan service things generally. I, you know, I'm making some assumptions here, but I think they know their player base, and it's interesting too, because in the when the first one came out, there was, you know, people online and, you know, like Reddit and stuff were like, oh my God, they made Tifa ugly, or, you know, they made her boobs too small, or all this stuff, which is like wild to think. That's because wild. None of those are true. But, you know, people complain about fucking anything. And so it's like at this point, they're almost like, though,
because somebody came out from Square or was making the game and said they brought Tifa's boob size back to what it used to be, and they actually did reduce it for, maybe it was on the remake. So they just brought her back to what it used to be for this game. I see. Because of the community response.
Interesting.
They did nerf her.
the players complained enough, and they did what they needed to do, I guess. But and then, you know, of course, all of the like promo shots are of Tifa and Aerith on the beach in bikinis. So, you know, they know what they're doing.
It's not even just in the game. Like, going to E3 and different gaming events, the Japanese companies are notorious for hiring what is the industry term is booth babes. And, like, it would be, like, very attractive women wearing, like, clothing that was very revealing. I mean, I remember being at a PlayStation event in Anaheim Convention Center, like, shit, I don't know, like, 2018. And, it was when that fighter jet game was out.
Ace Combat?
Yeah, Ace Combat, yeah. And it doesn't have anything to do with women at all, you know? And all the people working the booth were very attractive women in, like, military, like, flight combat attire, like, very low, deep-cut, V-cut, like, military tops. And, again, it didn't have shit to do with it, but they just, like, that's just what they do.
Different cultures will look at the ways of advertising differently, and like, you know,
that's like some like 2000 early 2000 stuff that we would do then, and now it's like Japan's like, fuck it, we're not stopping.
I think it is like people enjoy it even if they don't want to admit it, most people, most guys at least, you know, and even a lot of women, I imagine, you know. People like looking at attractive people. It just, you know.
I guess in the sense of like I don't want to like ignore instinct or whatever. I don't even know what I'm saying. What I'm trying to say is like, you know, I think there's kind of a vocal minority when it comes to like censorship, especially, you know, it's like, well, more, you know, back in the 90s, you know, oh, Mortal Kombat's teaching our kids to love the devil or whatever it is. You know, it's like there's some people who have these extreme ideas about things, and but like a majority of people are like, no, that's something that might interest me, right? Like, oh, wow, you know, I get to like vicariously have this role playing experience in Final Fantasy VII. Like, cool. You know, like obviously we don't have any issue with that, but, you know, there might be a vocal minority who does. So I don't know, man. I think they should just do what they want to do, and you know, and let it be what it is.
Yeah, like, I mean, I think it's more acceptable because it's not it's more rare. It's like back when every game was doing that, and they're like, okay, maybe we've taken this too far. But now that it's like, okay, only occasionally, every now and again, a game does that. I feel like it's more acceptable because we're like, okay, like we can forgive a game or two here, but when every single game doesn't, you know, because you gotta remember, like, girls play games too, obviously. Yeah. I feel weird that has to be said, but and you know, we want them to feel like they can play a character that's a female and be like, I resonate with this character.
Yeah,
and if every character is some, you know, thin waist, big boob girl that's totally unrealistic, they're not going to feel that way.
Yeah, creating unrealistic expectations.
Exactly.
Of women. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like,
that's not right.
That's why I think this is acceptable, though. Occasionally, if it happens every here or there, if every single game did this, then it's a fucking problem. But you know,
we just want it to be, like. But I think with all that saying, we're derailing from the fact that it's like we just want it. Like you were alluding to, though, it's like we just want it to be realistic and not like in the sense of like, well, you know, we're human beings, like, but like also we need to like, also you need, like you were saying, you need to appeal this needs to be for everyone, you know? So like it's I don't know where my wording is, like how I'm trying to balance that, but you know, there's a way to tactfully do that,
I guess.
Well, I think it's funny we're having this conversation. There's no like dad bod fucking male characters, right?
That's what I was gonna say the same thing. No, like Cloud is like ripped, you know?
Yeah,
like
I'm not like, oh my god, I'm fat, and like Cloud makes me sad because I'm not fit like him, you know. So like, yeah, like I said, like it's a video game, you know, like there are certain companies that are going to focus in on this. It's a part of that what they do, you know, and like I've worked for, like, you know, it's been my whole career, like working for companies that do that. There's other companies that don't, you know, there's a little bit of something for everybody. So, you know, if not every game has to be for everybody, you know, like no. If you don't like a certain game, then play a different game. You know, like if that game's art style is not for you, then find one that you do love. And, you know, and I think everybody should be able to enjoy this industry. And like, you won't find that somebody who gets more pissed off at me when like a woman gets harassed and like Overwatch, like I will like just fucking go off on the male player.
Yeah, that's,
you know,
ridiculous.
But like, yeah, you know, like I don't have any problem, frankly, with like if a company wants to make over sexualize some of their characters once in a while.
Mm-hmm. Okay, with that being said though, I do gotta say a funny part of my playthrough. So you're in the beginning of the playthrough, I'm not spoiling anything really, you're playing as Cloud telling a story of his past, and you're in your hometown, and so you're telling everyone the story, and you go into Tifa's house, and Tifa's like, you went into my house? And he's like, yeah. And then you can go up to her room and you can go into her closet, and it goes, they all go, wait, you went into my closet? And then you have a chance to like not go into her closet, or like say fuck it and go into the closet. And I was like, oh man, I'm in a room with Tifa and Aerith. Like, they were like, this is not funny, Cloud. And so I was like, okay, don't go in. And I walked away, and they were like, that was not a good joke. They get really mad at you. Yeah, it was a funny little note in the game.
That's pretty good. Well, I think that's a good spot for us to close out. So thank you, everybody, for listening. Don't forget to follow or subscribe to be notified when we post new episodes. We post new episodes every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on podcast services and YouTube. Sometimes we post on YouTube a little bit earlier, but you can also find us on Instagram, Threads, and YouTube at Pixelated Realms Podcast. Thank you all very much.